Before I begin this evening, let me tell you how much I've appreciated the opportunity over the course of the last few months, along with my fellow men who've been able to bring the word to you. It's been a lot to us too, and the study has meant even more to us, you know, because it is a time, but it's been time very worthwhile. And so I just want to thank you for being a part of that. You know, when I was gone, one of the things that the men loved the most was for me to read to them the story of Joseph. And I would read it from chapter 37 to 50. It took an hour and 20 minutes. And these guys would sit there. I remember one night I had about 20-some odd in one wing, a room, including some Spanish men. And they sat right there while I read that story nonstop without a break. And to watch their faces and to see their reaction to that story was worth every minute of it. And I did it multiple times with these men. Tonight, we're going to look at just a tad of the Joseph, but what I'm going to do is compare some thoughts between Joseph and Jesus. There's some parallels, which I found very interesting. So this is something I think of interest, and you learn a little bit. It's not terribly long, no more than an hour, anyway. Okay, so Jesus and Joseph, beloved son of the Father. Let's look at the comparison. And I'll read the scriptures here for you, and you can just pay attention. Genesis 37:3. Now Israel loved Joseph more than any other of his sons, because he was a son of his old age. I have a brother 20 years younger than I am. I know about the son of my folks' old age. Okay? And it was different than the oldest son was. Not necessarily in a bad way, it's just they learned on me, and then, you know, what happened later, you know that. And he made him a robe of many colors. He was proud of his son, so he made him a robe. Then we go to Matthew 3:17 and we look at Jesus. And behold, a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved son, with whom I am well pleased." You see that? God, his only son, he obviously loved him. All right. Testified against sin and was hated for it. We know that Jesus testified against sin. You remember when he told the lady who had come to him, and they were all about to stone her. And he said, "Any of you who have no sin, step here." And slowly, they drift away. Joseph. In chapter 37, 2 through 4, Joseph, being 17 years old, was pasturing the flock with his brothers. He was a boy with the sons of Bilhah and Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought a bad report of them to their father. Now Israel loved Joseph more than any other of his sons, because he was a son of his old age. And he made him a robe of many colors. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peacefully to him. So Joseph brought a bad report. He testified against sin. And then both of them were plotted against in hopes of killing him. Joseph's case, chapter 37, 19 through 20. They said to one another, here comes this dreamer. Come now. Let us kill him and throw him into one of the pits. Then we will say that a fierce animal has devoured him, and we will see what will become of his dreams. So you had lies upon lies, right? And then potentially they're going to kill him. That's what they're saying anyway. We look at Jesus in Luke 19, 46, saying to them, "It is written, my house shall be a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of robbers." And he was teaching daily in the temple. The chief priests and the scribes and the principal men of the people were seeking to destroy him. Luke 20, 13. Then the owner of the vineyard said, "What shall I do? I will send my beloved son. Perhaps they will respect him." But when the tenants saw him, they said to themselves, "This is the heir. Let us kill him so that the inheritance may be ours." This is interesting to me, and I've forgotten this, really. Sold for pieces of silver. 20 for Joseph, 30 for Jesus. In Genesis 37, 26, then Judah said to his brothers, "What profit is it if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother, our own flesh." And his brothers listened to him. The Midianite traders passed by, and they drew Joseph up and lifted him out of the pit and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver. They took Joseph to Egypt. Jesus in Matthew 26, "What will you give me if I deliver him over to you?" And they paid him 30 pieces of silver. And then we come to the temptation. Was tempted but did not yield. Genesis 39, beginning in verse 6. Now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. And after a time, his master's wife cast her eyes on Joseph and said, "Lie with me." But he refused and said to his master's wife, "Behold, because of me, my master has no concern about anything in the house, and he has put everything that he has in my charge. He is not greater in this house than I am, nor has he kept back anything from me except you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" And as she spoke to Joseph day after day, he would not listen to her to lie beside her or to be with her. But one day, when he went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the house was there in the house, she caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." But he left his garment in her hand and fled and got out of the house. Fast decision. Flee. You see that? Don't even think about it. Go. Matthew 4. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "Again it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Begone, Satan." We need to learn how to say, "Begone, Satan." For it is written, "You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Then the devil left him. And behold, angels came and were ministering to him. Both of them had the Spirit of God. Listen to this. Genesis 39, Joseph, the Lord was with Joseph. And he became a successful man. And he was in the house of his Egyptian master. His master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord caused all that he did to succeed in his hands. Chapter 41, 38, and Pharaoh said to his servants, "Can we find a man like this in whom is the Spirit of God?" Pharaoh recognized that. In whom is the Spirit of God? Jesus in John 1:32, and John bore witness. "I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him." Wrongfully accused. Genesis 39, back to where we were. 13, and as soon as she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and had fled out of the house, she called to the men of her household and said to them, "See, he has brought among us a Hebrew to laugh at us. He came in to me to lie with me, and I cried out with a loud voice. And as soon as he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried out, he left his garment beside me and fled and got out of the house. Then she laid up his garment by her until his master came home. And she told him the same story," saying, story, do you get that? Story. "Mom, he's telling me a story." My brother would say that about me. "Mom, he's telling me a story." It meant a lie. I really wasn't. That was the idea. "He is telling me," I've lost my place there. Okay. Sorry about that. Okay, and she told him the same story, saying, "The Hebrew servant whom you have brought among us came in to me to laugh at me. But as soon as I lifted up my voice and cried, he left his garment beside me and fled out of the house." Matthew 26, 59, Jesus. "Now the chief priests and the whole council were seeking false testimony against Jesus that they might put him to death. But they found none, though many false witnesses came forward. At last, two came forward and said, 'This man said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to rebuild it in 3 days.' And the high priest stood up and said, 'Have you no answer to make? What is it that these men testify against you?' But Jesus remained silent. And the high priest said to him, 'I adjure you, by the living God, tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God.' Jesus said to him, 'You have said so. But I tell you, from now on, you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven.' Then the high priest tore his robes and said, 'He has uttered blasphemy. What further witness do we need? You have now heard his blasphemy.'" This is an interesting one. Acknowledged to be the Savior. Follow this. Genesis 47, 25. "And they said, 'You have saved our lives. May it please my Lord, we will be servants to Pharaoh.'" So Joseph had saved their physical life because of the famine, food. Look at Jesus. "So that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Can we kind of go back to that famine? All must get their bread, or life through him, through Joseph, through Jesus. Genesis 41, 55, when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread. Pharaoh said to all the Egyptians, go to Joseph. What he says to you, do. So when the famine had spread over all the land, Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold to the Egyptians, for the famine was severe in the land of Egypt. Moreover, all the earth came to Egypt to Joseph to buy grain, because the famine was severe over all the earth. Acts 4:12, one of my favorite passages, you've heard me use it. And there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. That name is Jesus Christ. That's a great statement there. There is no other name. So both of them. Jesus gave us hope of eternal life. Joseph saved the people because he fed them. He sold it to them, but he had food. See the difference there? Freely forgave his enemies. This is where, when I was reading the story, in this whole context here, I don't have all here, obviously. But this is where the guys got emotional. Emotions are good sometimes, you know. Genesis 45. Then Joseph could not control himself before all those who stood by him. He cried, make everyone go out from me. Leave. So no one stayed with him when Joseph made himself known to his brothers, and he wept aloud so that the Egyptians heard it and the household of Pharaoh heard it. And Joseph said to his brothers, I am Joseph. Is my father still alive? I wish. But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed at his presence. So Joseph said to his brothers, come near to me, please. And they came near. Now, can't you see this? You know, that's one thing I really appreciate about Denny Meyer, not just one thing. But remember when there something happened, And somebody obeyed the gospel, or somebody had made it known they need to be forgiven. Then he always called a group. Remember that? He called us up and we'd sing right here in a circle. I think that was good. But now think about it now. Here's Joseph in this powerful position. But he said to his brothers, come here, come near to me. That's a loving request. Just come here. And they came near. And he said, I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. And now, do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life. Genesis 50, 18 to 21. His brothers also came and fell down before him and said, behold, we are your servants. But Joseph said to them, do not fear. For am I in the place of God? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive, as they are today. So don't fear. I will provide for you and your little ones, your children. Thus he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. It's really something. God meant it for good. I never forgot that. Luke 23, and Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. And they cast lots to divide his garments. So we see some parallels there between Jesus and Joseph. And it's fascinating. It's interesting, the characters that we see here. It's interesting to see God's providence. I don't think that there are many stories, Ruth, Esther, that tell God's providence, I think, more than the story of Joseph, if you think about it. And you've heard me say providence is in the rearview mirror. We look back on it and we understand it better. We can't see it in the fore, but we can see it behind us. And I believe in providence very strongly. And I've come to believe in it more. More and more. The gospel, the good news. Talked about it in Acts this morning. What is the good news? Good news is God's mercy will save us from death if we're but obedient. You see that word, obedient? His mercy will save us. And His grace gives us what? Eternal life. I said to a man just yesterday, and I don't remember how I got into the specific discussion, but I said to him, I said, "You're going to die, aren't you?" "I'm going to die." "Yeah, we're all going to die." "That's right." I said, "There's a beginning and there's an end." I said, "It's always food for thought, isn't it? And after that, what comes? The judgment." I didn't say that to him, but I did get his attention just a little bit. That's my entree to hopefully talk some more. Great guy. So, you've heard me say, God's grace at the point of our obedience saves us, washes away all of our sins. We become perfect that instant. We're not going to let sin reign in our body anymore. We will sin, but we have what is commonly referred to as the second law of pardon. We can pray and we can ask for forgiveness, no question about it. But that mercy is going to save us from death. The grace gives us eternal life. And I don't know about you, but I want that. Wouldn't you like to meet the Apostle Paul? I would. I'd like to see Mom and Dad again. Clovis and Edna. A lot of people, right? See him again. How are we going to see him again? Got to go there, folks. We got to get there. We have to pay attention to our lives. We have to pay attention to our faithfulness. We have to pay attention to what we're doing. Every day, every day. It's a day at a time. When I was gone, I forgot how many days. It was somewhere around 2,000 days. It's one day at a time. Sun comes up in the morning, goes down at night. Tomorrow's another day. Worry about today, don't worry about tomorrow. It has enough trouble of its own, right? Isn't that what the Bible says? So, there may be someone here this evening who is ready to be obedient to the gospel. If that's so, we're going to sing a song. Dan's going to lead us. If you have something on your mind that you need to tell us about, get the prayers of the church, you can do that as well. Come while we stand and sing.